The programs that Sierra runs are often run by volunteers. So those people who are interested in staying active could also find opportunities through us to do that.
Okay. Again, I'm going to repeat the phone number in these workshops. Support for Family Caregivers. Powerful Tools for Caregivers workshop is going to be happening Tuesdays, April 19th through 24th, 9 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. at the ADRC Central Wisconsin here in Wisconsin Rapids. The Physical Activity for Life for Seniors, or PALS, is going to happen on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on July 11th through September 16th at First English Lutheran Church here in Wisconsin Rapids. Now, to sign up for both of those programs, or if you have any questions at all about the services or the connections Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin can help you with, the number to call is 1-888-486-9545. 1-888-486-9545. And if you ask, and we'll make sure we'll have this at the front desk. If you call, missed us, call the front desk and Pam can give you the number. But I thank you both for an interesting topic, and let's hope we reach a lot of folks and can help them.
You're excellent.
Thank you,
Carl.
Us.
Okay, take care. That's Sierra Schultz, community health educator, Mike Graper, outreach specialist with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. And that's going to wrap up part one of today's Morning Magazine. The Morning Magazine, as always, is brought to you by Comfort Air.
Furnace on the fritz? Whether it's a quick fix or time for something new, you need a dealer who knows what it takes to warm things up. And a Bryant dealer does whatever it takes. It takes attention to detail, the right tools, and friendly, knowledgeable service. Bottom line, it takes a Bryant dealer to bring the heat.
Comfort Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, Highway 73, Nacusa. Call 325-3969.
Bryant, whatever it takes.
Take part in a Madison tradition in the 35th annual Crazy Legs Classic on Saturday, April 30th. Register today for the 8K run or 2-mile run. Visit CrazyLegsClassic.com. Sign up as an individual or in friends, family, or co-workers as a fun and fitness team. That's the 35th annual Crazy Legs Classic on Saturday, April 30th. Proceeds benefit Wisconsin Athletics. To learn more or to register, visit CrazyLegsClassic.com.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
Lots of sunshine across the area for this afternoon with high temperatures near 70. Then for tonight, mostly clear skies will drop to a low of 45. Even into your Saturday, that stretch of sunny weather continuing with highs approaching the mid-70s. For the day on Sunday, a high near 76. Partial sunshine Monday back in the mid-60s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Yes, it's a gorgeous day. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend, so you have my permission to leave the office early. Right now, it's sunny and 54 in Wausau, 53 in Marshfield, 50 in Stevens Point, and 54 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and welcome back, everybody, to today's show on AM 1320 and streaming live at WFHR.com. It's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. And you can reach your local investment professionals here in Wisconsin Rapids by calling 715-422-0700, 422-0700. The topic of today's class: politics and its effect on stock markets. With that, we welcome the professor, Pete Bry. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. You said you went out and played a little golf yesterday, huh?
Well, you know, it's being that it was April 14th, and the course was open. It was the right combination of circumstances, and couldn't pass it up.
I don't blame you. Well, I'm going to try. I'm going to warm up tomorrow. This weekend, I'm going to hit the range and do a little practicing. But let's talk about. It just happened, your topic, when we were having our pre-show discussion, I was mentioning to you, you timed it perfectly because there's been a number of articles in the business media about the effects the presidential election have on markets, and the fact that the markets are already pricing in an outcome. barring a change in specifically the Republican Party convention. And there, the one article I read, it might have been a Wall Street Journal or a CNBC thing, I forgot what it was, but said there are, the market's already pricing in a Hillary Clinton presidency. I'm just going, huh? How does this work? So today you're going to explain that for us.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And so there's actually been defined what's known as a presidential election cycle.
Okay.
And they've gone back to the early 1900s and charted and mapped and averaged and all that. And so the results are basically like in the first year of a president's term, the market tends to be a little weaker than the fourth year. Kind of the market performance, usually it's the worst year of a presidential term. And part of that is he's implementing programs, he's changing the rules by new laws, and so there's a certain amount of uncertainty. Is it going to work? Isn't it going to work?
Sure, okay.
And so, you know, there's a kind of a logic to that. Now, the second year is better than the first. It's still a little below the you know, long-term averages. Surprisingly enough, more bear market bottoms have been achieved in the second year of a presidential election. And again, if we think a little bit about that, oftentimes a new president is a change in party, economy's not good. It takes him a while to, in the first year, got to get the legislation passed, and in the second year it starts to take hold, and the sun starts shining again. And stuff.
Okay.
So because of that, it makes logical sense that historically the third year of a presidential term is the strongest of all years. Going back to the 1928, 22% is the average return in the third year of a presidential term. Mm-hmm. That compares to 10.21 in the second year and 7.41 in the first year. And again, they're averages, so you know, some years they're higher, some years they're negative and stuff. But that's been the average since that time frame.
And then when they use that, I'm sure, and they go into their fourth and year of their, what they're hoping is going to be the first of two terms, to tout, hey, my administration is turning things around, and that's the...
Correct. And so the fourth year is an interesting... the overall fourth year going into a re-election, the return has been 7.5% in all those years.
Okay.
All right? But there's a giant differentiation in the returns as it pertains to the incident where, or the occurrence where the existing president is up for re-election.
Okay.
When the existing president is going to run for office again, those years average 12.6%.
Wow.
And again, always think about the market is a mechanism where certainty is really good. They can make decisions. They can have confidence in those decisions. Obviously, it's rare that an incumbent doesn't get reelected.
Okay. Okay. Right? So the certainty that we're going to have this person as our president for another 4 years means, okay, we understand the rules of the game. There's not going to be any big changes, etc.
Correct. We've had 4 years of how this is how it's gone. This is what's been done. This was what hasn't been done. And so you see that's kind of the logic behind it.
Okay.
Now, in this particular year...
When we're going to have a new president.
We're going to have a new president. Since 1928, when this has occurred, essentially, which has been eight times, the market's down a negative 2.8%. And again, why? Well, you know, you just have to kind of look and open your eyes and read and listen to the news this year to understand why.
Right.
Because if anyone can determine what really is going to come out of any one of these candidates who becomes president. Man, they're just smarter than anyone else in the world.
Yeah, because that's the big thing right now is that of all the major candidates, everyone's going, what's going to happen if they become president?
Right.
And that, as you have told us many, many, many times, is uncertainty scares the market.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely correct. So they're essentially, it's kind of fun looking backwards. Again, in a one-year thing, it doesn't look. But the S&P return from 1928 through the 2012 election, when a Republican was elected, that particular year, 15.6% return.
Right.
When a Democrat was elected, only 7.6%. Which is what is quite interesting, though, is that when a Democratic presidents, all right, had the return in the markets during their rule is higher than by almost 2% than the Republican presidents over their rule. Now, if you know, and again, the beautiful thing about statistics is you can make them read however you want by adding. But if you think about two of the greatest, three of the greatest market declines, the Depression, Herbert Hoover.
Republican.
2000 to 2002, the technology bubble exploding, George W.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
The financial, Georgia has a unique spot here. So the 2007-2008, the financial world is ending as we know it, George W. And so obviously those returns really skew everything downward. But when a Democrat was in office and a new Democrat was elected, the return was 11%. When a Democratic was in office and a Republican was elected, total return was 13.2%. So it's kind of fun, and I would guess that in general, an election year tends to be good for the market.
Okay. Before we go to break, I want to bring this up. Normally, when you're dealing with the Republican candidate, it's normally someone perceived to be more friendly toward Wall Street. But this year, everybody's picking on Wall Street, it seems. I mean, Donald Trump has been doing it. Bernie Sanders has been doing it. I would imagine that's probably one of the reasons why the market's all verklempt.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a good analysis because, if you look at all the potential presidents in this field, she's been there, done that, understands it, and she can say whatever she wants, but she's been funded by Wall Street,
right?
She understands in the big picture.
We're talking about Hillary.
She understands in the big picture. Yeah, you can make Wall Street the big bad bully, but it's so funny because they talk out of both sides of their mouth. They're going to create jobs. They're going to bring back workers. They're going
to
do all these stuff. They want to start new businesses. Well, it's great to say that, but you have to have a mechanism to generate investors, to fund the companies once they're up and running, to bring their stock to the market, to bring their bonds to the market, to find the investors to do that. And so those people that think, oh, my God, Wall Street is just this big, bad, cartoon ogre that, my God, is just preying on us, is a little slanted. And if you think about it, I think one of the things, and we'll probably maybe get into it after break, but the one percenters, the whole differential in wealth between the middle class or the disappearing middle class and the upper echelon, they want someone to blame, and by bringing Wall Street up here's our enemy, and things. So
it's an easy target.
Right.
It's an easy target. Well, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to look at the major candidates' proposals in the area of economics, taxes, and trade. You're listening to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Back with more right after this.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
Lots of sunshine across the area for this afternoon with high temperatures near 70. Then for tonight, mostly clear skies will drop to a low of 45. Even into your Saturday, that stretch of sunny weather continuing with highs approaching the mid-70s. For the day on Sunday, a high near 76. Partial sunshine Monday back in the mid-60s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Right now, sun and 54 at AM 1320. Welcome back to the Morning Magazine. In part two, we're doing Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. And again, you can reach your local investment professionals by calling 715-422-0700. Okay, Pete, let's look at these candidates who want to be president, the next president of the United States, and their proposals and how they can affect markets. And if they were to be elected, what that might do to markets.
All right. So the major things, well, there's, I guess, everything in some size, shape, or form affects some of the thoughts here. But, you know, essentially taxes, all right, and trade are the two major components, all right. And so... the fear in the marketplace is all this, it seems all of a sudden everybody's pretty much against the TPP, Asian Trade Agreement.
Right.
NAFTA is suddenly the worst thing that's ever happened to us. And so let's put up the fences. Bring
a beautiful fence.
Home. Right. But... historians will say that the Smoot-Taft-Hartley Act in the late 20s
right.
created the worst, longest, certainly, depression we've ever had. And you think about it, the ship has sailed. The world is pretty much one marketplace.
Well, especially with all the internet technologies that exist now, I can do business with anybody anywhere in the world.
Exactly, and you think about, we were, over the past, we've talked several times, if China sneezes, the world catches pneumonia,
uh-huh.
All right? And it's the same thing here. I mean, it's, what you have to try and do, which I think is impossible this year, is what is campaign talk and what's reality.
Right.
And things, but almost without a doubt, across the board, no one's really... committing that, we have to have trade, you know, we just have to have fair trade or whatever. And so that is a big, big thing, because 48% of the revenues from S&P 500 companies are international.
Okay. That's a lot of money.
So you think about, we get into tariff wars or trade embargoes, and you... go from 48% of your business down to, pick a number, 40, 35. The dollar amount and the impact on revenues and net earnings will ultimately result in layoffs, depressed stocks, because stocks go up when the earnings and revenues are up and the expectations are good. And so I think the trade discussion is the most concerning of a lot of this particular talk, all right, simply because if in fact for whatever reason things were getting implemented, it would really have a bad effect on the world economy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we continue to import more things than export, but that's good because it keeps these other countries viable and growing and things like that. And what we just talked about, the companies in the S&P 500, how much they depend on foreign countries. So that is a topic, and right now, my sense is that Hillary Clinton understands it. She's just not going to admit it till she gets elected, all right?
Right.
And Bernie Sanders...
He's playing the class war thing.
Bernie Sanders, I guess, in my opinion, is refreshing. It's interesting that at his age and his number of years in politics, he's recreated himself as a fresh face, a new voice.
Yeah, that is. Right. Right.
And, but he's really reaching right now. I mean, you know, how do you want to create jobs and you come out and say General Electric is uprooting the moral fiber of our country, right? He goes to Verizon, which is one of the biggest cell phone companies, and, you know, he's stoking up the people there. Well, you know, that's where his base is, and that's where he's getting his vote, so I understand that. But it's pretty much you need companies, whether established, old, big, or new, to create jobs.
That's it. That's the private sector that creates the jobs.
Correct. So I don't know where he's coming from. As we have seen with Trump, his opinion on a topic can change within an hour. All right. So, you know, what does that mean? And certainly no country has been better served than Mexico. NAFTA created a middle class, created a lot of jobs, and so they are in fact, you know, a Mexican is in the top five wealthiest, Carlos Slim, you know, so they greatly benefited, and so it does help.
And here's my thing about that, too. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, while they're taking Mexico's taking jobs away, and then you complain about people coming from Mexico illegally into the country. Why? Because they don't have economic opportunities. Well, if they have economic opportunities in Mexico, you reduce the chances, don't you, that they're going to feel the need to leave their country?
Correct. And, you know, never let the truth get in the way of a political rhetoric, because if you really look at the numbers, then immigration from Mexico has grown in several years.
Okay.
All right? But Honduras, Nicaragua, some of those particular countries, because of political oppression, because of the lack of opportunity, obviously, you know, those have come in. But, yeah, I mean, the, you know, and again, it's easy to be on your soapbox, but...
Well, some of this is common sense.
Well, some of it's common sense, but, you know, what was America built on? It was built on immigrants.
That's right.
All right?
And we don't have the country we have.
So, you know, everyone living in our country comes from a background of German, Irish, you know, Polish, Russian, Japanese,
Italian,
China, Italian. Yeah. And so now all of a sudden we want to be known as a land of opportunity, and maybe not.
Okay. Oh, well, tax, we hear about trade, but and taxes. That's always a big thing. And politicians like to demagogue tax. And how does Wall Street view the debate on taxes? We, going into break, you were talking a little bit about like the 1%. We hear about the, both from Trump and from Bernie and from everybody, all of the candidates about the declining middle class or disappearing middle class. Right. How does Wall Street factor this all in and take this in?
Well, obviously, less tax tend to be better for Wall Street.
Okay.
I mean, Wall Street corporations, you know, one of the big things is that corporations are handcuffed right now. All the money they make overseas under the current tax law, to bring it back into our country, which would create jobs, create money to pay dividends, would create money to do R&D, would create opportunities, is taxed at such a high rate that it's held hostage. So corporations do all that overseas. Corporations look to do, which was a popular discussion a couple weeks ago when they stopped Pfizer from doing that inversion, going from a 22% tax rate to a 10% tax rate. Right now, the United States, for the most part, has the highest corporate tax rate at 35% in the world. All right,
which is probably why these companies are doing these inversions.
Exactly. So my point is, if we could get Congress to understand this, would we rather have money spent in foreign countries or rather have it here? Let them bring it, you know, bring it
right
back. Would it be really beneficial? So that would be one thing.
Make our taxes competitive with the rest of the world.
Because if you buy into what we talked about, this is a global economy, you're right. If you're Procter & Gamble, you're competing with Kimberly-Clark, both United States companies, but you're competing with Unilever, a European company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your competition on the worldwide platform, there's inherent disadvantages when, for a dollar of sales, you give up 35%, and a foreign company might give up 10%. They got 25% more for R&D, hiring people, building plants, and things like that. So,
mm-hmm.
So that thing. The other thing, as we kind of wind down here a little, is, you know, there are some interesting things, I think, but the simplicity, you know, when the tax code is bigger than the 82AA manual, which takes two hands to carry. I mean, there are just so many rules and clauses this and that. So simplicity there obviously would not be great for tax accountants, but it would be probably better and more efficient for our economy. So reducing to, you know, like Reagan did, to two or three tax brackets and eliminating maybe some deductions, but hey,
you can keep more of your money.
Exactly. When it's all said and done, the incentive is, you know, if in the top bracket now, you could, with state tax, you could be 55% if you live in California, all in. So every dollar you make, you keep 40 cents.
Oh, goody.
Does that make you work harder?
No.
Yeah. So there's some interesting things there in terms of, Hillary's got this unbelievable, you have to be an accountant with a PhD capital gain proposal. You know, it depends on your tax bracket. It depends on how many years you do it, you know.
And the cycle of the moon.
Yeah. So, you know, the other potential interesting concept thought in this whole thing is that, as we've learned in the Obama administration and somewhat in the Clinton administration in the 90s, you know, if you don't have a Congress that works together for the greater good, all right, ironically, you don't get much passed.
Right.
All right. And so all these craziness in terms of discussion still have to get passed. But from a market perspective, the two greatest presidential runs in the stock market was in Bill Clinton's 8 years and President Obama's 8 years. And one of the